Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There is nothing the political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell, to hold their prestige and power at your expense. I'm doing this for the people and for the movement, and we will take back this country for you, and we will make America great again.
I know it's good to be with you. It's good to see you. We were just talking about the technical difficulties that occur in the country, and we'll take the benefits of the country with the technical difficulties, won't we?
Oh, exactly. All the stuff going on in the liberal cities and the big cities right now. It's like, I'm perfectly fine being in the country. I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah, me too. I you know, we live kind of in a suburb area, but mm-hmm. I tell you what, my wife and I were just talking this morning about we're going to get some land out and get out of the city because we're kind of sick and tired of the bureaucracy that is.
I know. Well, that's why you're running for governor, because the primary's coming up in what, a couple weeks? I think the end of the month. I think. Yeah. How's that going?
Going really well. We have been at this thing for coming on 10 months now, and it seems like a long time, man. But we've learned a lot. We've been chipping away at it. Like one or two things are going to happen. We're either going to win the primary, we're going to finish second. And if we finish second, you know, the hope is that we'll be able to have enough votes for a runoff.
Okay. Ooh, runoff. Those are getting pretty fun.
Aren't they, though? So, you know, we're happy with our effort. We haven't compromised our principles one bit, and we've done it in a different way. And if nothing else, we've inspired a lot of candidates to do it, you know, what we believe is God's way.
Yep. Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. We need people, men and women, who are going to, you know, fall on their knees before God each day and ask, like, help me run the country or the state or whatever it is, run whatever you're doing, like the way that God wants. But the reason that we're seeing a lot of what we're seeing is because we have people in power who not just don't know Christ, but are outrightly, a lot of them, Satan worshipers, or they easily look like Satan worshipers. And you're like, yeah, you're freaky. You should not be running anything except an insane asylum. You should be in one.
Well, and, you know, I think the Bible talks about that, doesn't it? You know, I would rather probably sit down, as I've noticed, talk to a Satan worshiper who overtly would be admittedly pro-Satan and serves them every day. I would rather have a conversation with that person because at least you know where they stand, as opposed to someone that is just wishy-washy, on the fence, a chameleon.
A fence rider, yeah.
You know, even the Lord says, you know, I don't appreciate the lukewarm idea. You're neither hot or cold, so I'm going to spew you or spit you out of my mouth. So we see a lot of the fence riders these days, and those are the ones that I find the most dangerous.
Yep. Yep. And those are a lot of the ones that we're seeing refusing to stand up on key issues. I mean, I watch Fox sometimes in the evening, and I mean, you think it can't get worse the next day, and then it does. I mean, just recently, I mean, having children at a drag club, and what was on the neon sign behind it, and you're like, are you serious? Like, and you bring your children there. And I'm like, I'm surprised at the parents, but also just surprised at the officials who are okay with that and support that. And I'm like, there's called age appropriateness for a reason. Even as Christians, we would, of course, disagree with the lifestyle, but I'm like, at least we still love the people, but there still needs to be an age appropriateness amongst people, whether they're Christians or not.
Well, I mean, we even had that recently in our home state at Oklahoma State University, and I'll call it out for what it is. They had a drag queen day, and that is not okay. It's not okay. And we say, well, that's freedom of speech. Okay. You can be a drag queen if you want to, but you're not going to come in a public school system and communicate that anti-God nonsense. And I love you, but you can be over there with your drag queen stuff.
I know. Yeah. It seems like it just keeps getting worse each and every day. And I think that's why a lot of people are going, you know, very conservative, very Republican and stuff. Obviously some are still rhinos, but a lot of great people, you know, like yourself and like a lot of other ones running who have never been in politics before, but it's like, you all are like, you know, we're sick and tired of this, and we're not going to we're not going to do this. We're going to stand up for the majority of Americans who are against most of this stuff. Majority rules. That's democracy.
Yeah, we have a chance now to make a dent in this thing. And I hope people catch the idea that it's really changed from a local and state level as opposed to the federal government. We put so much emphasis and so much effort. And of course, there's that sexiness, if you will, to Washington, D.C. But Look, man, things aren't changed at that level. And that's just the same bureaucracy nonsense. Those people are there to represent the states. And the states created the federal government, not the other way around. And so we've got it backwards. We need to put all of our effort, time, money, resources into winning elections and putting right people in there at a local and state level. And I think that the two most important positions that we have within these United States, Hannah, is going to be the governors and the sheriffs. I think those are the key positions. And that's just simple, history, the way our Constitution is laid out. And man, we've got so far away from that.
Everything's become so centralized, and that's where the problems become. It's like everybody thinks the president can do anything, or Congress can do anything, or the Senate can do anything. And you're like, there's checks and balances, number one, like for a reason, obviously to keep each one from getting too power hungry, and also just for their own accountability and stuff. And I'm like, we're not just called the country of America. We're called the United States of America, meaning multiple states make up one country. And that's what we're made of. Like you said, local level, it's become too centralized in one, you know, just little section of the country in DC by a lot of people who are woke now, a lot of them, or are too cowardly to stand up for what their constituents want. It's like, your job is to stand up for what the people of your states want. It's not to, you know, go the liberal left. It's not to cower to that.
I laugh a lot because, you know, I watch some of these platforms of some of these federal candidates, and they say a bunch of stuff that sounds really good. Like, I'm going to author a bill. Whatever, that means nothing. So you're going to author a bill and watch it get shot down. I mean, what does that matter? And people have the wrong idea that if you author a bill, that means anything. And even if the federal government passes a law, that really means anything, because ultimately the states can not, if it's not specifically and narrowly enumerated in those powers, Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution. Yeah. Those are the powers that are for Congress. There's only 18, not 38, not 180. And the states and the people have more power. So it's crazy to think about, you know, how that people have been deceived, even in campaigns. And I'm just shaking my head and keep moving.
I know. Yeah. And then even with the Roe v. Wade decision, with the stuff like a few months ago with the leaked opinion and stuff, it's like, I even saw some people like not standing, people who I had respect for, I don't anymore, because I didn't see them standing. They're like, well, we'll see what the Supreme Court does. They weren't taking a side whether they agreed with it or not. And I'm like, you are on a Republican platform, and the Republican platform by nature is pro-life. And I'm like, look, people can sit down and have a conversation. I'm like, look, as Christians, we still love people who, you know, believe in pro-choice. I'm like, even though they're wrong and stuff. But I saw so many like Republicans and stuff, just everyone's like, oh, I'm not really for sure. And they just were silent about it. And
I made a statement.
Thought that they wouldn't be. And you're like, this is a serious key issue that you're running on a platform that this is supposed to be one of this big stance in the platform. And you can't even stand up on that. And you're like,
I was listening to Senate candidate the other day who spoke in front of me at an event. He was talking about our, you know, President Donald Trump being all pro-life. And I'm thinking to myself, that's irrelevant. I don't understand what you said, and it sounds really good. And people need to understand that the Roe v. Wade decision was an opinion. It was never a law, and it was never intended to be a law. It was a decision, but the laws got made or shaped around that, and even permission was granted to allow abortions from that. And so it was always a state issue. It has never not been a state issue. That's why you have states that have a variety of these pro-life, or even let's call it pro-death sort of voices. And so I got really in a hit piece put on me by Newsweek just 2 weeks ago. And it's been a miserable couple of weeks because I made a statement on an interview, and I still stand by it, that all life, the concept of it, the creation of life itself begins in God before it's conceived on earth. And I use scripture reference, Jeremiah 1:5, for example. I knew you before you were created in the womb. And I use that. And boy, I think I woke up every demon in hell. And people say, well, you're not for ladies. I absolutely am. I am pro-life for ladies. I'm also pro-life for the unborn, you know. So it's not the same issue. And it's been so convoluted and so confused based upon deception. I mean, on one hand, the same people that say you, Hannah, can have an abortion on demand because that's your choice. You can choose to kill another life, right? Mm-hmm. On the same token, the same people are saying you, Hannah, need to take a vaccine because you need to be concerned about others' lives. So it's an argument against itself, and that's how you know a false or deceptive or untruthful narrative. If it's not congruent, it argues against itself. It's always been untrue because truth always stands and always will be and never will be proven to be untrue. But untruth will never stand and will always come unraveled in the face of truth.
Exactly. I love the point that you brought up, because that's the thing that I've been seeing when I've been watching Fox, particularly about, or just listening to people about the Roe v. Wade. I'm like, you want bodily autonomy on one hand, but yet, and we can argue it's not bodily autonomy, but if people want to argue that pro-choice, pro-death, as you said, I like that. I like that term better. But if people want to argue that that's, you can argue that that's bodily autonomy. But on the other hand, you're like, so why can't we have bodily autonomy with vaccines and what we put onto our body? And why do you need to know? So it's like that you can't have your cake and eat it too. You gotta pick one or the other. And what you just said a few minutes ago about, you know, people would say me as a woman, like, oh, you have you as a woman, you have the right, like you should stand up for women's rights. So I'm like, I stand up for the rights of women, the ones who are unborn, who are trying to kill. I'm like, those are the women that I want to stand up for. And also the boys. But I'm like, you want to talk about women's rights? What about the women who you are murdering? So what about their rights? Exactly. So it's, and like I said, as a woman, I can make that argument to another one, particularly because obviously if you try to make that argument, they call you misogynist or sexist, every other word. But I'm like, okay, ladies, let's all get together and have a conversation. We're all girls here. Hopefully no trans people. Sorry. It's just, you can't have baby. Sorry. If you're a guy, you just can't have babies. So nope, sorry. You're barred from the conversation. Yep. But I'm like, okay, let's have a conversation here. But when you bring up that point, because I know people who are liberal, and I've had conversations like this before, and they get very ticked off when I try to bring up that point, because I'm like, who gets to decide when life begins, from a government standpoint, or like from a local state standpoint? I'm like, who gets to decide? And by granted, I mean, it should be obviously people voting, and most of the people are pretty against, you know, any stage of abortion. A lot of people are kind of in the middle, but I'm like, look, it's not as progressive as everybody makes it out. And I'm like, it's the small percentage of the liberal and the woke that are trying to push like even after birth abortion. And you're like,
oh my God,
that is also murder. But I'm like, here in Kentucky, we had a law that was passed or some type of thing that was passed. I think it was last year or a couple years ago by our governor that said, I think if in case of a botched abortion, the doctors could deliver the baby and then just not give it any care and just let it die. And I mean, I always disliked him anyways, but like after that, I was like, you being lined up on a wall and shot in the head, I'm like, I honestly would say that's biblical. I'm like, you know, you take a life, you get yours taken. I mean, I know there's forgiveness and hey, you can accept Christ and he'll forgive you. And it's like, you'll go to eternity with the Lord. But I'm like, boom. So.
Well, the very sad thing about this is when you look at this, I mean, as I sit here and talk with you, you know, my conception was not in the most awesome situations. My mom was 16 and goes to a party, gets incapacitated through alcohol or whatever, but doesn't remember any sexual encounter. Yeah. Turns out she's pregnant and the father's a 19-year-old man, right? You know, it's like, we all know what that is. In today's world, that would be encouraged to go ahead and not allow me to have a chance. but I'm not a mistake, and no life's a mistake. And I even read a story recently, and I haven't, there's no way I could verify to the individual people, but it was put out there in public information in major sports scenarios where Steph Curry's parents, right? You know, Steph Curry, the NBA star that's playing in the NBA finals right now, his mother, reportedly, he and his father had had an abortion prior to Steph. Well, she gets pregnant again, and they go to the Planned Parenthood planning the abortion. They get to the parking lot, and then something changes, and they decide, we can't do this anymore. Lo and behold, we have Steph Curry. So again, every life has a unique and awesome purpose, and only God can determine what that's going to be. And women and women's rights, the most disrespectful thing to women is happening right now, in my opinion, and I'm just looking at it from a kingdom point of view, is when you allow some a lady to disrespect the life within her and the creative ability that God's given her, the ability, the blessing, the honor to carrying the seed going forward, but to the society giving her permission to not carry that seed going forward and to maybe use her body, perhaps inappropriately, can't go into the judgment of mankind or womankind. But the idea behind that is that's very disrespectful to the woman. And it really, I read a statistic from the National Institutes of Health recently that talked about these ideas of ectopic pregnancies, you know, the pregnancies that sort of out in the fallopian tubes as opposed to the uterus. And the life can't live out there. And so there is technology available and science available to be able to replace that into the uterus, but we're not utilizing that because it's not popular. But the statistical analysis looked at 9,000 people, and they looked at, you know, the few hundred of these ectopic pregnancies within that group. And they found that half of the ectopic pregnancies were associated with previous abortions. So, you know, you see there's all kinds of information here that maybe we need to consider. And so
stuff that you can mess up internally, like, and stuff, not just to mention hormones, but it sounds like maybe like the actual sexual reproduction system of a woman after having a baby, because they act like an abortion, it's just a simple thing. Oh, you just go in and then do that. I'm like, it is, when people describe it, it is very graphic how they do it. There's different levels of graphicness, but I'm like, even the least graphic ways that they do it is still very graphic. And I mean, like movies that like Joy Thayer has worked on, the Unplanned movie that came out a few years ago. I still haven't seen it, but my parents have. I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen the whole thing together. I've seen the woman in person before, the one who it was about, and it's a great story because I mean she worked there. And then whenever you see that image, I can't remember the statistics that they had, but I think it's like so few women that still have, if any, still have abortions after they see that image, because they know it's not just a mass clump of cells or whatever else they try to call it. They actually know it's a life. And so they're like, wait a second. So that's why a lot of these liberals don't, and even Republicans, some of them too, rhinos, don't want to pass these laws to like, hey, okay, if you want to have an abortion, hey, have like a sonogram or something done beforehand just to see, and then you can make an informed decision. But what else have they been against informed decisions on? Vaccines. So it makes sense that, of course, they don't want informed decisions on this because, I mean, the person they're serving wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So it makes sense. It doesn't matter whether it's life in the womb or life at, like, young life, old life, whatever stage, it doesn't matter. They just have no respect for life, like you said, at all.
It's terrible. You know, these politicians have ruined our country, and they do what they do in general. I'm talking about politicians. I'm not talking about statesmen and stateswomen, because I believe there's a few out there. Politicians have ruined this country because their whole world is spent on trying to pander to the public opinion or pander to popularity. And that's all it is. And, you know, I'm not running a popularity contest. I'm running into a race to try to win the race, to try to lead the people to places of victory, as opposed to staying in the land of bondage. And I feel like Moses sometimes, you know, that I'm fighting Pharaoh on one hand, which is big business, the establishment that is, the government that is. And on the other hand, I'm fighting people who don't even know they're in bondage and need to come out. So it's a hard journey. And I hope people will really, you know, understand what valuable part we all play in becoming involved in whatever area we can.
Local level, local county, local state and stuff. And that's what we were supposed to do from the beginning. That's why that's what the founding fathers intended, even though everybody tries to make it out like it's not. I'm like, local level, because they were getting away from England because of the centralized power there of the royals there at the time. And arguably could even be a little bit today too, but I'm like, they were getting away from that because they knew that centralized authority with no oversight and not realizing that it was God who's given them the authority to begin with. And these are people who weren't even Christians. I've said that multiple times. We know that they were deists. Some of them didn't even believe in Christ, but they at least had a moral sense of knowing who God was and the principles set out in the Bible and stuff. So we see that, but of course, everyone's like, oh no, democracy, our democracy's in shambles. We got a January 6th. People against vaccines. They're killing people who won't take vaccines. They're killing people. And you're like, this is ludicrous.
Yeah.
Insanity at its highest.
Well, it is. And I just look at it like almost unfathomable. And sometimes I look at the world we live in and I can't believe what it's become. And as I've gotten this political thing, I've seen it head on, and it's so overtly corrupt and so overtly deceptive and even demonic. The people that are in it don't even know how much. And they'll quote scripture all day long, but they have no idea what they're saying, and they don't know the author of the book, you know, and that's not a judgmental thing. That's an obviously, you know them by their fruits concept. And I pray God's blessing and God's mercy over them, that they receive that when they repent.
Yep. Well, amen on that, on the government side. I really hope you win. I'm like, I'm really excited for the primary because I thought it was next week. And then I looked the day right before we got on here and I was like, oh shoot, it's like a few weeks out and stuff. I'm like, I wish all the states would just have their primaries at the same time, like they do in the midterms. Cause all of them are like different. They're all different dates. And I'm like, it gets my brains all confuddled. I'm like,
oh yeah. Mine too. I'm like, what state goes when, where, what, you know?
But I know it's like we also need to make things more simpler. They've gotten way too complex. It's like a lot of stuff is pretty simple, straightforward. But on the medical side of things, monkeypox, we've got that coming, which oh my gosh, that plus they're trying to say, oh, new COVID variant. Oh, people are going to have to bring back vaccine mandates and everything. Oh my gosh. It's like so much more fear.
Well, it's one thing after another. If you can get a population inundated and propagandized with fear, you can control them. And the sad thing about it is this monkeypox thing, you know, now we're actually making headlines for 500 cases in the world. I mean, the farcical idea of that is just, it's literally insane. And monkeypox has a very, very low fatality rate. And obviously, my opinion is this is a release of a virus to create more pandemonium and more compliance with listening to the government, maybe the World Health Organization, whoever's in charge, CDC, and even our own government to get more vaccines that are about profit over people. Monkeypox is, and people that wonder how it's transmitted the same way a virus would be, except it's harder to transmit. So you had to be right in somebody's face, you know, like it can be transmitted through the respiratory droplets, of course, but you had to be right in their face and through the mouth and the eyes and the nose, of course, would be a spot of concern. And then monkeypox has a unique characteristic of the development of these pustules or lesions. And so if they're broken and they're oozing, and I'll be gross a little bit, and that fluid were to get transferred into an open wound, of course, that could be a sort of a transference kind of area. It's transmitted through bodily fluids as well. And so you could even think about, you know, dirty linens, clothing. That's another way too. But typically, you know, your common household, you know, cleaners and disinfectants would kill it. So
basically, it's not like airborne. is not like airborne, basically. Okay.
Not really. There's some of it that's respiratory driven, but you know, if you're right in somebody's face and you sneeze, well, that just makes sense. You're going to transfer whatever's in you into them. And it doesn't mean that they're infected. It means they might be affected.
Yes. Well, like you said, and it's the droplets too. It not necessarily airborne. It's just like you sneeze on someone, you're going to get, you know, your saliva or other stuff probably on them. So granted, in a certain area, like you're going to get that on them.
Yeah. Don't make out with somebody who's got monkeypox. Just a little bit of a hint, hint, clue, clue.
What, do you know where they came up with the name for it, monkeypox? Because I've been hearing a lot of people joke about it because it's like it has nothing to do with monkeys. And I'm like, the poor monkeys, that it doesn't even have anything to do with them. And they've been besmirched by all
they have. No, poor little monkey. No, it was like in 1958, it was discovered in a experimentation lab that utilized monkeys. So that's where they got the name monkeypox. Okay. And then it wasn't discovered the first human case until like 1970, but there's been no evidence that it transfers from monkeys to humans or humans to monkeys.
Feels like they should have changed the name, like a marketing strategy, rebranding. I'm like I said, the poor little monkeys, if they could talk, they'd probably be bringing out their own lawsuits and probably like, we're suing you.
Yeah, they'll be giving monkeys vaccines soon enough for the monkey owners.
Probably.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, it's like I said, the medical side of things just thinks, you know, keep getting crazier. Like I said, I mean, COVID and Bill Gates has already, like I said, he's been saying there's going to be a new virus or whatever, I think before the year's out, or new variant of COVID or whatever and stuff. And I'm like, pretty much anything we see, we can probably assume is either, if it's not completely man-made, it's definitely genetically altered because they've been doing it for a long time. And it's like, do we think that they've just suddenly stopped and we're just seeing now naturally occurring things? I'd say probably not.
No, and in this globalist movement that's taking place, the elitist, you know, that really are trying to depopulate the earth and shrink it down smaller, because they don't, and it's not a secret. They've been very overt about this. Their desire is to, they don't believe that the world can hold this many people safely. So they want to see, you know, the less resilient, maybe the less beneficial, not be allowed to live. They want to see the depopulation and they want to see control, one world currency, oversight, you know, monitoring you, being able to survey you from, you know, whatever you do and however you do it. And we're bordering on that right now, even with, you know, our credit cards and cell phones, they can already survey you. So it's not a,
I know they're always watching you through these. It's like the camera and stuff. You think it's off and you think Siri's not listening or Alexa isn't listening. I mean, I have all the devices, but I'm like, I've known for a long time they're listening to me. I'm like, I've had to do Zoom for classes for a long time and Zoom's been taking biometrics since it's from China. So I'm like, oh yeah, they got all my biometrics and stuff, but probably don't want anything that I have right now because I'm only a 23-year-old college student with debt. So so it's probably like, we'll pass her by for right now.
Well, it's interesting, you know, we are already being surveilled like that. So it's like, I don't know, man. I think our job as people, if we have, you know, relationship with God through Jesus, is just be the light and know that there's conferred protection, blessings and wisdom attached to that. And, you know, we're not going to die one day quicker than what God says so.
Exactly. And as Christians, we're not fearful of death. We try to live, you know, our life as long as the Lord lets us be on this earth. You know, try to be healthy, you know, take care of yourself and take care of, you know, temple, you know, Holy Spirit and stuff. So it's like, and then tell people about faith in Jesus Christ. But then if we die, live as Christ, to die is gain. So like I said, the only thing for me, it's not death that scares me. It's the process of dying. Cause I'm like, I have a very low pain tolerance. So I've always been like, Lord, if I'm going to die, please let me die like peacefully in my sleep or just, you know, very quickly, like not just in an excruciatingly slow way. Cause like I said, I have a very low pain tolerance.
No, you're right.
But it's like, we're not scared of that as Christians. Cause we know we're going to be with the Lord here. We're just telling people about the Lord. And then whenever we die, we go home to be with him. So it's like,
yeah, it's win-win. You change addresses. So it's all good.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it has been so great having you on, Dr. Sherwood. I mean, I'm really excited for the primary here in a few weeks. So it's like, we'll see what happens. How are you guys in the polls right now? Or like, have you guys been keeping track, like analytics? How are you guys doing in the polls right now? Maybe kind of.
Now, there's been several polls come out. Okay. There's a variety of numbers. Like every one of them, we've been number two. And there was one or actually two that we were number one in, but they're different parts of the state. You know, I think we hold a distinct advantage in the rural area, you know, around the state. And of course, big city is going to be the elitist. That's where they live. So I think we have a distinct disadvantage there, but I believe that the people are going to vote, and I'm not concerned either way, man. I've done my part. We'll go through the race. We'll pop the tape with our chest out, going at full speed. And hey, it's in God's hands, and no regrets. Yes.
Well, hopefully it's going to be good and fair, because I mean, I know they still got a lot of those bad machines in there and stuff. So I'm like, that'd be the thing that would frustrate me, because I'm like, whatever happens, it's like, I mean, obviously if you win, great, because you know, and stuff, but it's like, if not, you're kind of like, did they steal it? Because the lady you're running, is it a lady that you're running against, or who are you running against?
Yeah, in the Republican party? Side, there's four competitors, and I'm one of those.
Okay.
So there's a couple competitors in the Democratic side. So, you know, it's always hard. We're trying to unseat an incumbent Rhino, a very wealthy governor. And again, I'm not scared of that, but people thought we were crazy, but hey, we had to step up and become part of the solution, right?
You never know until you try. And like I said, right. I love the phrase, because I just recently found it again. I'd forgotten about it. I learned about it years ago, but I just forgot about it. But the quote from Edmund Burke, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to sit and do nothing. And I'm like, that's exactly. Right. It's like, if you try and fail, it's better to have tried and failed than never have tried at all. And that's stuff. Because right. Yeah. Because you learn through failure, and also at least you try. Because if you don't try, you never know. No, I mean, on anything in life. Yeah. Well, not on anything in life. Take that back. Not on anything in life. Don't try something. You tried it. But it's like within reason, and as Christians, within biblical reason. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Well, freedom's not a spectator sport. I've learned that, and it never was, never will be. And there were 56 people that signed the Declaration of Independence. And so thank you to those 56. We're still reaping the benefits of that. And so I consider myself one of the modern day 56, and I'll continue to do that. And hopefully we can inspire, you know, millions of people one day to be part of that movement.
The 56 from then, it's like, it's more like the 56 million of today.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, all the Clay Clark events, like I said, that you speak at, and that, like I said, I've gone to some of them, and all, not just Clay Clark events, but all these types of events, you just see regular everyday Americans that love their families and that want to take care of them. A lot of them actually are faith, or at least at some point of faith and stuff, or at least some, you know, acknowledgement of God or some deity or whatever. So, but it's like, they just love their families and they love their neighbors, and they're going to help one another. And that's the majority still of Americans. The elite is so small in number compared to even just the people of the world, but also just even Americans. The elite and the politicians, you know, are pushing stuff. That's why they've centralized the power at the top, because they know that we way outnumber them. And plus, a lot of us have guns.
So. That's right. And we have to get out and vote and participate and maintain our rights with our lives if need be. And if we do that, we'll be all right.
Exactly. For future generations. Like me, I'm only 23. It's like, hey, me and my kids, I'm like, I'm only 23. It's like, I want to still grow up in the great country, the greatest country on earth, which it still is to this day. Even with all the stuff going on, it still is. It still
That's is. Right.
Yep.
Gotta hang on to what we have.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Dr. Short. I am so excited for the primary here in a few weeks. And I'm like, there's just a lot of great stuff happening. It's going to be a fun summer.
You bet. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Hannah. It's always good to see you.
You talk to you later.
I called General Flynn. I said, General Flynn, I feel like God wants us to team up to do a Reopen America tour, and we get people back to God. And he says, I know. I'm going, you know?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by God, you know the thing.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
I believe America is supposed to be that shining city on the hill, the beacon of freedom.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
You gotta make sure you cover your full face.
These vaccines are zero liability.
There's so much fake information.
It's the David and Goliath thing.
Their agenda is not God's agenda.
Why will the churches not stand up?
I'm trying to save America.
I believe we're in the greatest revival in history.
Thank you for
for watching the Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.